Good afternoon, everyone. Is it good afternoon? It's a good one, right? Can I ask, first of all, how many weeks have you guys been back?
Two, three, yeah?
This was our first one back at Lilydale, so we were really excited. And I'm just really excited. You guys, I need to see people say hello to each other. So give a chicken wing to the person nearest to you. Just show some love. Just good to be in a room with people and faces and smiles. Come on, Pshemek, I know you want to give a chicken wing to somebody. Come on. All right, seriously though, it's good to be here today. I'm really excited. Thank you so much. There was a bit of a mix-up. I had no idea I was meant to be here, and then Roman called me and said, Ryan, are you preaching? And I'm like, I'm preaching at my church today. So this is my second sermon, but it's good to be here. And seriously, it is really good to see your faces. I've missed seeing your faces this year. I usually will cross paths with you throughout the year. And it's good to be here. It's a nice, warm Melbourne day. And hopefully we're experiencing a season of change. I want to bring your mind, as we sort of start this message this morning, I want you to cast your mind over 2020. Can you do that with me? Can we all stop and think about the year that has been, right? I'll tell you what, this year I got ordained, which was really exciting. And 1 week later, we went into lockdown. And I remember some of my youth said, oh, when did you get ordained? I'm like, it was the beginning of the year. What? That felt like 2 years ago. I'm like, I know. And yeah, it's just, this year's just had so much crazy. Okay, we've obviously had lockdown. Who's enjoyed lockdown? Oh, Pshemek has. Some people have. But yeah, for the most of us, we haven't really enjoyed lockdown. It's been crazy. I don't know what your political affiliations are, but most people I meet just feel like it's been a bit too long. Okay, so being in lockdown, it's been a crazy year of lockdown. Okay, recently, government has sort of wanting to place restrictions on how Christians can pray. Interesting year. Being at home in lockdown, too much time on my hands, watching, reading lots and lots of news. Okay. Middle of the year, black man dies at the hand of policemen. Black Lives Matters become a thing. And America goes crazy with riots and all sorts of things. And yes, it's America, but being at home in Australia, watching the news, it impacts you, right? So that's been going on, okay? Later in the year, we have this presidential election, and boy, was it entertaining. Who found it entertaining? It's still entertaining, guys. It's still going on. Isn't this wonderful? So they have no idea who's going to be president, and it's just all kinds of crazy. And you know, I was telling my wife about this introduction, and she goes, Ryan, don't forget at the beginning of the year, we had the craziest bushfires ever. Does anybody remember those? We kind of almost forgot those for a minute. This year has been monumentally crazy. And perhaps if you stop and think about your own lives, being in lockdown, there's been a lot of time for reflection. There's been a lot of time to think about your life. There's been a lot of isolation. And I dare say for many of us here today, and for those of you watching, I think I'm looking at you now, it's been a hard time being alone, being isolated. Some of you may have been laid off from work. Some of you may have been on the border of being asked to leave your jobs. And that's not a cool place to be, okay? A lot of us have gone through some pretty difficult circumstances this year or know people. I think it's a blessing that, look, to be honest, doesn't seem like anybody I know has died from COVID, but there've been a lot more other repercussions. And I think 2021, realistically, we're going to see more of those repercussions come to the surface. But it's been a hard year. And I don't want to make light of that. I want to acknowledge that this year hasn't been great. It's been a great year of learning. I mean, the church has grown in many different ways. I'm so excited that this is the very first time I get to talk to you in English with no translation. Never happened in my life. That's like a miracle. No, I always liked, I got to be honest with you, preaching with a translator, the benefit is, like Damien says, I get to really think about what I'm going to say next and make it land that much more. This time it's just go, go, go. But this is really cool. There've been blessings. But there have been a lot of hard moments. I'm so proud of what this church has done on a Monday night. Can I see a show of hands who participates on a Monday night here? Look, there's so many of you, and that's really, really cool. Olivia, you're serving food to people. You remember that? Yeah, cool. But yeah, that's such a cool thing. Dandy Polish has sort of really just reached out to the community and sort of said, hey, here we are. We are invested. We are interested in you. This year, working with Lilydale Church, I got to travel around and deliver food to people who needed it in our community. And we got a lot of contacts from an Aboriginal community group called Mulla Mulla in Ringwood. And I just didn't realize how much need there was out there. And people are doing it tough. And so, friends, my question for all of us this morning is, what do you do when you're facing tough circumstances? What do we do when you're just between a rock and a hard place and you're just like, I don't know if I should be moving forward, if I should be moving backwards, if I should just stay put? What do you do in those moments of your life? I want to share with you a story from the life of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet that we're familiar with, but some of the circumstances around his life are very interesting. Isaiah is prophet at a time when there is a king in the land, a king in the country of Judah. Israel is split at this time in history between Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Judah has a king called Ahaz, and Ahaz has had a 2020 kind of a year. You see, Ahaz is in this really tricky situation. You see, he is he's in this sort of regional skirmish. You see, the big superpower of the day is not Babylon. Babylon is just about to show up on the scene. But it's actually the Assyrians. They're the neighbors to the Babylonians, and they're about to set the stage for all of the things that are going to come in the book of Daniel and the exile. But the Assyrians are the big threat. And Judah's neighbors to the north, the Israelites, and the Syrians, not the Assyrians, but there's the Syrians and the Assyrians. The Syrians have said with Israel, hey, King Ahaz, can you join us? We want to fight the Assyrians. And King Ahaz is like, I don't like you guys. I don't know if I want to play with you, let alone fight with you. So he says, no, I'm not going to participate. And so these guys who've said, look, we're going to work with you, now they decide to fight him. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 7, verse 2. The news had come to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. Friends, whenever you see the Bible use some analogy, in this instance, trees shaking like a storm, dial up whatever emotion you imagine by a factor of 10. People are petrified. The Bible describes it like being a tree in a really bad wind. I've got some good news. This message starts with some bad news, but I got to do the wedding of the Hanlons over here. Can we give them a nice little hand? Beautiful event. Down at Healesville at the sanctuary, I had to pass some emus and kangaroos to get there, but it was nice. My biggest fear, I think Sylvia would acknowledge, we were really worried that the weather would go bad, yeah? And it did rain. It's the first wedding I've done with an umbrella in my hand, but it was good. It didn't rain for too long. But man, all my emotions start to pile up. I hope it doesn't rain more. I hope it doesn't get even more windy. I hope Vanessa's hair doesn't blow all over her face and wrecks the photos. Like, I was actually really worried. The most stress I get these days is when I do a wedding. So if I've married you, I was sweating bullets when I married you. And there's a few of you guys here. It's just such an important occasion. And when I'm preparing for this sermon, I've just done your wedding, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can actually feel what it must have been like just to be so petrified. You see, it's actually a really bad situation they're in, so much so 2 Kings has a sort of a parallel account of this story. 2 Kings chapter 16 says, then King Rezin of Aram, this is one of the enemies of Judah, and King Pekah, that's a good name, of Israel, came to attack Jerusalem. So this is reality. They really are sweating bullets here. They besieged King Ahaz, but they could not conquer him. At that time, the king of Edom recovered the town of Elath for Edom. So that's another territory of Judah that's taken. He drove out the people of Judah and sent the Edomites to live there as they do to this day. This is a pretty intense situation for King Ahaz and the kingdom of Judah. They're being attacked on multiple fronts. They have had a 2020 kind of a year. And the question remains, what do you do when, you know, you're just backed into a corner and you don't know what to do? Where do you go? Now, obviously, I am a pastor and you probably can suspect where I'm going to take this. And you could probably suspect where Ahaz should go. And this is what Isaiah 7 says. God knows what Ahaz needs to do. And Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, hey, just give Ahaz a little prompt. Just tell him I'm here. Just let him know I'm here to help him out. I'm here to give him a hand. Okay, and this is what it says in Isaiah 7 verse 10. Later the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. God wants you to just say, hey, look, I know, Ahaz, you're struggling. Will I help you out or won't you? Just ask me for anything. Ask me for anything and I'll do it. Just so you know, I'm here to support you and the kingdom. Make it as difficult as you want, my Bible says. Make it as difficult as you want. As high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. We could have been privy, guys, if we're looking back in history to one of the coolest miracles ever in the history of the Bible. God puts it all out for Ahaz. Ask whatever you want. So you, if you need that reassurance, just ask for the moon and I'll give it to you. So you can believe that I am here to support you in this really hard time. But the king refused, verse 12 says. The king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. I won't ask for help. I don't need your help. And it's so easy for us to look back in history and go, you're crazy. Why wouldn't you just ask for God to do something super cool and just to show you that he's really there? But friends, when I look back at my 2020, when I look back to, you know, just being cooped up in Potter Street there in Dandenong for 5-6 months, did I turn to God as much as I should have? And the answer is no, kinda, yeah. Like I talked to God, but man, there are so many things I tried to do in my own effort, my own strength. When you look back at your 2020, what was your reliance on God like through this season? Did you find you were trying to mastermind and figure everything out on your own? Was your job like under jeopardy? Were you going on to Job Seeker and looking for, you know, through the classifieds for new jobs? You know, were you trying to just be a step ahead and figure things out? I got to be honest with you, that has been me a little bit of this year. I'm really blessed to have some pastoral colleagues who've kept me grounded. Go, hey, we got to keep on praying. But if it was up to me, I got to be honest, it's a bit hypocritical of me to judge Ahaz so quickly. And so what's your spiritual life been like over 2020? What has your dependency on God looked like? Here's what King Ahaz does in 2 Kings 16. He sends a message to King Tiglath-Pileser. That's a great name. King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. This is the guy who's coming to attack Israel and Syria. This is the enemies that he was supposed to help fight. He goes to these guys and he says to them, I am your servant and your vassal. Come up and rescue me from the attacking armies of Aram and Israel. The prayer that he should have sent up to God, he sends it to some guy, some other nation. The prayers, the things that we're supposed to be relying on God for, so often, so commonly in our lives, we just put into the hands of other people. Things aren't working out, my insurance company's going to sort that out. Things aren't working out, I'm going to get on Job Seeker. Things aren't working out, I'm just going to be one step ahead. I've got it all figured out and we push God out of the equation. Ahaz took the silver and the gold from the temple of the Lord and the palace treasury and sent it as payment to the Assyrian king. This option is not a cheap option, friends. It never is. Not trusting God is one of the most costly things we can do. And often we think it's a really good investment. So the king of Assyria attacked the Aramean capital of Damascus and led its population away as captives, and he resettled them. And so, you know, from the surface, it looks like things went well. You know, it didn't go too badly. But it ends up costing King Ahaz more than he realized. I've called this sermon What's in a Name, and I was going to cover three different names mentioned in this story. I'm going to skip one, but I'll just give you the brief version of it. We're in chapter 7 of Isaiah and chapter 9, but in chapter 8, God tells Isaiah to name his son a prophetic name, Mashalel El Hashbaz. Vanessa, you want to name that one for your nice little, yeah? Mashalel El Hashbaz? No? No takers? It's a really long name, but it's this really prophetic name, and encapsulated in this name is this idea that the king of Israel is going to forfeit all of the treasures, all of the plunder, all of the riches that could have gone to him, and instead it's going to go to the Assyrians. That is the cost of going his own way. The blessings that God has in plan, in mind for you and I, they go to somebody else when we don't trust, when we don't lean on him. Can you look back on your life and see the moments where God has sort of taken away the things that could have been yours? Or maybe not taken away, but you've just watched them go, slip through your fingers. This is the reality of King Ahaz. But in chapter 7 of Isaiah, we see the faithfulness of God in this moment where Ahaz is unfaithful. And it's beautiful. Isaiah 7 verse 13, the Bible says, "Then Isaiah said, look, listen, King Ahaz, you royal family of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is a bit of a Christmas sermon. Sorry for those of you who do not celebrate Christmas, but there it is. But I do think this story has an immediate application for us. You see, even though things are going bad, even though things aren't going according to plan, we see God stays faithful to King Ahaz. And friends, I want you to know that God will continue to be faithful to you in spite of your unfaithfulness to him. And what is the basis of this statement? Well, we see it, it's in this passage here. He says, "Listen, you royal family of David." When you hear the name David anywhere in the Bible outside of David's immediate life, your brain needs to be pinging, ping, 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 because this is covenantal language. We are seeing God invoke this idea of covenant. And if there's one thing I've learned this year, being at home, being in lockdown, one of the primary ways God wants to be known in the entire sweep of the Bible is that he wants to be known as a God of covenant. And what's covenant, you might be asking? We've often simplified it to this idea of a contractual agreement, and that is kind of what it is, but it's so much more. The prophet Isaiah would continue to talk about God and his covenant to Judah. In chapter 54 and verse 10 of Isaiah, this is what God says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear." Some pretty monumental things can happen to planet Earth. "But know this, even then my faithful love for you will remain." That's never going to change. Why? Because I'm in covenant with you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken. God made a promise, a contractual type promise, but it's based in love, and from his perspective, he is never, ever, ever going to break it. And that's powerful. Ahaz might break it, you might break it, I might break it. We may be not good at loving God, but God as far as he is concerned, will never stop loving you. And that's important to know this year. God will love you in spite of the decisions you've made in your life. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Isaiah says this in another way, one chapter later, 55 verse 3. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. Hang on to your seats. God's saying, listen, guys, I've got some big news for you. What is that news? I will make an everlasting covenant. Everlasting means it never ends. It doesn't stop. Whatever you do will not change the circumstances of this covenant. This is how God feels now and forever. I will make you an everlasting covenant. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. I made a promise to David, and I'm going to stick by my word. I'm going to continue to love on his family no matter what. And you know what? We are part of that family. If you've chosen Jesus, you are part of that family, and God has covenantal love towards you. I don't know what the narrative of love in your life has been. Maybe your parents didn't tell you they loved you a lot, but you need to know that God, who's bigger than Trump, that's bigger than Biden, bigger than anybody in the universe, he loves you. He actually really cares about you. And if you don't feel that your life amounts to a whole lot, well, that needs to go because God sees a value on your life. And that is so profound. When you know what God thinks about you, it changes everything. You don't think like a person who thinks they're poor and have nothing. You think I am rich because God thinks of me. He thinks important things about me. Covenant is so important. I feel like the first 30 years of my life, I've missed this idea that covenant is so profound and God wants to interact with his people based on covenant. So know that. I want you to go home and read about this. It's such a cool topic. I told you that there are a few names in this story. The first one we're told is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's a covenantal promise by God. There is going to come somebody into the history of the human race. His name is going to be God with us because literally God will be with you through this child. But we have another name, or another handful of names, I should say, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child is born to us, another Christmas verse, if you will. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I have to say this because this is my life, and I know some of you guys are different here, but I do love Christmas. And if you were to go through my Spotify list, I would say just as many playlists are dedicated to Christmas carols as they are to every other song. I just love Christmas carols. I have to make that little announcement. So I'm preparing for this message this week and I'm driving around and I thought to myself, you know what? You know where these words are found that I've just read to you? They are found in Handel's Messiah. Handel was this classical music composer. He wrote operas and you know the Hallelujah chorus? Hallelujah. You know that? Right before that, he writes a song with these words. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when Handel was asked, why are you writing like an opera, a musical? Why are you quote unquote making your album about this? And his whole purpose was he wanted his countrymen to know about the love of God throughout the sweep of history. And you know, it's a bit dated if you're modern. I'm like, oh, it's not my cup of tea, but it was nice to listen to. Check it out on the way home. But anyway, he writes these words. And so you actually have to ask yourself the question. And I need you to just sort of pause for a second. Often we hear these words in the context of Christmas because that's when they're shared. But you need to place yourself in the immediate context in which this message was shared. The immediate place Isaiah shared these words to King Ahaz and the people of Judah. Remember that you've got these two enemies knocking down the door of Jerusalem. They're trying to get in. It's unsuccessful. And in the midst of all of that, Isaiah comes and goes, look, God has given me a word and he wants you to know that there's somebody's coming into your midst. His name's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. few days later, hey, God's given me another message. He wants me to tell you about this kid that's coming into the world again. His name's going to be Wonderful Counselor. And if you're a person in Ahaz's country, like, oh, thank God, Ahaz has not been taking good advice. He has not made good rules. This guy's going to be the mighty God. Oh, wow, thank God. The gods out there, they seem pretty strong, but this person's going to be like a mighty God. Hallelujah. Everlasting Father. Okay, great. All right, Father God. Yep, good. See that? Again, mighty God motif. Sweet. And you just have to place yourself in the situation and imagine what it must have been like for the people in Judah to receive this word. It brought so much life, so much joy to hear that somewhere in the future, somewhere on the horizon, there is hope. There is good news coming. We're going to have to go through some bad things, but you know what? The end of the story looks overwhelmingly positive. And that's what we get in the Advent story, in the coming of Jesus into human history. We get good news. Now, these people weren't expecting Jesus. They were actually expecting somebody immediate to their situation. And the person that arrives is not Jesus, because he comes a few hundred years later. But the person that arrives on the scene is none other than good King Hezekiah. Anybody know of King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah is a really interesting guy. He's interesting for one main reason, and that is he's just one of a small handful of kings who actually stays true to God. I'm going to read to you about him just right here in 2 Kings 18. In 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it says, King Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. Here is a man who embodies the spirit, the qualities, the character of David. He removed the pagan shrines, all those places they would gather to worship. He smashed the sacred pillars. He cut down the Asherah poles. He broke the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the children of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. This guy does a full clean out of the nation. He does some sweeping reforms, trying to improve the nation. And this is what I love in verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. He trusted him. He's not like his dad. His dad made his own way. His dad, you know, betted on himself. But Hezekiah has seen too many failed attempts at this. And so he decides that he is going to trust in God. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. Here is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's not a complete fulfillment, but it's a partial fulfillment. You see, Hezekiah is a really great guy, but the end of his life is not the best, and that's a whole other sermon in and of itself. But Hezekiah, he struggled. David struggled. His father struggled. And all the other kings in this family struggled. And so we are left continually hoping that a perfect person will come and fulfill all of the names that this prophecy has. The government will rest upon his shoulders. This king, whoever he is, his kingdom is going to be so countercultural from any of the kingdoms that have been before. And you need to understand this. You know, Judah is no different from any of the other kingdoms. All the other kingdoms use power and force, manipulation, dirty politics, lies, murder, rape, pillage to push their agenda along. Some pretty gruesome stuff. This kingdom, this king, his government's going to look so fundamentally different from any of this. He is going to be a wonderful counselor. Some theologians have called this future king a philosopher king, a king who does not just speak empty words, but his counsel is based in truth and life-giving principles, something that all the other kings have never offered before. This king will be a mighty God. He will be an everlasting father. He'll be more than a father figure than any of the other kings before him. But at the same time, he's going to be divine, which is completely weird when you think about it. And at the end, the last title that this king has is that he will be a prince of peace. And this is not talking about the kind of peace you get from flipping on a meditation on YouTube and just listen to my voice, listen to the waves. We're not talking about that kind of peace, although that's not bad. But we're talking about a peace in the world, a peace, a harmony. That's the idea of shalom, shalom, however you want to pronounce it. But this is what this king will bring. He is going to bring stability in a world where there is so much instability. And friends, I think as I'm describing this, I'm hoping that I'm provoking you to think about the world today. Because we don't see a lot of these ingredients in the world today. And friends, my 100% honest opinion is that God is wanting the world to see this kingdom here and now. He is calling Daniel on Polish to be a little window of what this kingdom looks like as the world continues to go spiraling downwards. I don't like to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but it kind of is going off in a crazy direction. And God is calling people to serve the God who carries all of these names. He is wanting you to be a witness to the city of Dandenong and demonstrate these qualities of wisdom and truth, of love, of peace. He wants people to come here and see there is something fundamentally different about this church and the people in it. They love each other. They're kind to each other. They've got something we want, we need. And friends, I'm just so excited to see that you're on this journey. I really am. Like, I am so happy. Caught up with Josh. Where's Josh? He's somewhere. I was talking to Josh. He was telling me all of the things that are happening. I was like, oh my goodness, yes, yes, yes. And I was doing air punches. Like, seriously, I'm really stoked that you guys are just doing things for the community. You're showing God that you love, that you care. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't rest on your laurels. I'm going to conclude with this passage here in Luke. And it's just very simple. But it's just here to show you that when Jesus arrives on the scene, he fulfills all of these qualities. Joseph he's worried, the husband of Mary, and she's told him that she's going to have this child, and it's a very weird story. I mean, if Emma told me she had a child and God made the child, but an angel comes to him in a dream and says, look, this child, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, covenant language, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Friends, we are being invited to participate in this kingdom today. This invitation to focus on the advent, the coming of Jesus at this time of year. I know Jesus wasn't born at this time of year, but it doesn't stop us to think about, you know, the history that led into his coming. He came into a world that was so broken, so messed up, and he demonstrates all of these qualities of the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, so beautifully. And it was so radical that the world rejected him for it. And friends, the world will reject us too for that message. But along the way, how many people will get to know who Jesus really is? How many people will join that kingdom movement? On that note, I'm going to pray. We're going to wrap it up. Is there singing now? Let's sing a song and then I'll pray. So I'm going to invite our singers to come up and just reflect on this idea as we sing our last song. This is Amazing Grace.